Morning, and a very warm welcome to everyone watching the service, whether in the morning or the evening. I think Ewan had mentioned a few weeks back that we would be having some outtakes, so we're on take two this morning. And talking of Ewan, let's pass over to Money Musk and Clooney and see what's happening in that neck of the woods.
Hello. Well, today we're actually welcoming a new member by public profession of faith into Money Musk Church, and it'll be great to see a new younger person participating in the life of our congregation. And this coming week we'll have our continuing discussion about St. Paul on Wednesday, and on Tuesday we have our mainly music group, and next Sunday of course we're looking forward to having coming across to Echt for our joint service. And for the Money Musk and Clooney folk, I think I said it was at 10 o'clock. It's actually at 10:15. So please note that. Mind you, it's better that I said 10 o'clock rather than 10:30. So you would have been late. So, but 10:15 the service starts, and we look forward to that. The following week, we have a busy weekend with the Jubilee celebrations on the Saturday. The Money Musk Church is organising a number of events, including a cake-off, a walk around the village, this history of the village, a history of the church, and then an afternoon tea. So there's a lot of work. And then on the Sunday, the community is organising a picnic in the park, and the church is involved with that as well. So I hope that people will participate and come together to celebrate the service of our Queen, and also the fellowship that we have just mixing with one another. So I think that's all the news that's coming from our end just now. So I pass you over to Sheila.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service today. The service is going to be a little different. We have no person in the pulpit, but we'll be using one of our archived sermons for teaching. And of course, our local volunteers will be taking part in the rest of the service. Next week, the church will be closed. Do remember, as Ewan has said, there is a combined service, a joint service in Echt at 10:15. And we do look forward to seeing people at that service. If anyone needs a lift, please get in touch with me and we'll do our best to get you there to the church. The following week, we have communion, and that's been long awaited. And we look forward to that with Lorna Murray's help. Don't forget the Christian AIDS sale has taken place, and we look forward to seeing how generous everybody has been at that sale. And I now pass you to Neil in Kintore.
Thank you very much, Sheila, and hello, everybody. Kintore, it's a Communion Sunday this week at the church, and then the next Sunday, as you've heard, the joint service, we're also joining together with everybody at Echt. And as is happening in Kemne, we're also inviting folk to form lift clubs, offer lifts to one another, carpool, whatever you can to make sure that we all get across to Echt together. And then talking about Jubilee weekend, on the Saturday the 4th in Kintore, there's going to be a street party, and the church is going to be joining with the rest of the village in celebrating at the street party on the Saturday. And on the Sunday evening, well, Sunday morning will be our normal service, which will focus on the Jubilee. But in the evening, we'll be joining the folk at of IDCT, that's the Inverurian District Churches Together, for a big celebratory service in the town hall. That will start at 6:30 p.m., in the Inverary Town Hall, concluding at about 8 p.m., and everybody's very welcome to come across for that. So that's on Sunday the 6th. And now back to Stella in Beda Chaplagiri.
Thank you. And you might notice some plants behind me here. I've got some very healthy tomatoes and dahlias, which are going to be sold ahead of the plant sale. So if you'd like to take those and save me and our generous donator from watering them for the next couple of weeks while the sunshine is going, that would be great. But hopefully all the other plants will be sold on the 28th, on Saturday, at the Giri Village Hall, on the Chaplagiri Village Hall at 10 to 12, when we'll have cakes and coffee and all the other accoutrements that go with a little sale. And we've had lots of sunshine this week. And talking of sunshine, I took the liberty of looking up the Camino de Santiago, and I noticed a little sunshine emblem and all the marker posts that you're going to pass, Neil. So just wishing you all the best for your walk and hope you don't miss any of those sunshine markers.
Thank you.
And extend your walk by another 5 weeks as you get back on the trail. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our call to worship is from Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the harp and lute and the harmony of the lyre. Let us pray. O God, complete the work you have begun in me. Release through me a flow of mercy and gentleness that will bring water where there is desert, healing where there is hurt, peace where there is violence, beauty where there is ugliness, justice where there is brokenness, beginnings where there are dead ends. Waken in me gratitude for my life, love for every living thing, joy in what is human, and holy praise for you. Renew my faith that you are God, beyond my grasp but within my reach, past my knowing but within my searching, disturber of the assured and assurer of the disturbed, destroyer of illusions, creator of dreams, source of silence and music, light and darkness, death and life. O keeper of promises, composer of grace, grant me prayer in my heart, trust at my core, songs for my journey, and a sense of your kingdom. Amen. And as we continue the harmony of the lyre with songs for the journey, let us sing our first hymn today, which is CH4212, Morning Has Broken.
Reading today is taken from John's Gospel, John chapter 14, and reading from verse 23 to 29. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Amen.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning in Money Must Church, we are welcoming a new member to the congregation through a public profession of faith. This will be the third new member that's joined either Clooney or Money Musk this year. And it fills my heart with joy that people, and all three of them are relatively young people, have decided to make such a public profession of faith. To stand up and promise that you believe in God, that you will follow the teachings of Christ, that you will become part and parcel of the life of the church, that you will give a fitting proportion of your time, talents, and money, to use the old phrases that used to be said during such services. I'm conscious that it takes a bit of effort in this day and age to publicly profess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But words are not enough. We need to see action. We need to see God's love in action through the lives of all of us who profess Jesus as our Saviour and our Lord. Do you know, over the years of my ministry, and probably before that, I don't know how many times I have heard people with no faith condemn those of faith, or condemn faith in general, as being the subject to war and division and conflict. I don't know how many times people have said to me, oh, you can trace all the conflicts in the world back to different religions and different faiths. And I suspect maybe you can, to a degree. But as I always say, it's not the faith that causes people to fall out. It's not the faith that causes bitterness and anger. It's the misrepresentation of the faith. Over the last 30 or so years, we have seen atrocities carried out in the name of Islam, in the Middle East and further afield. We have seen people promise to go to their equivalent of heaven if they commit terrible atrocities, often killing themselves in the name of faith. And I think to myself, what religion would ask people to kill innocent civilians, young people, old people, and all in between? It's not the faith that's at fault. It's the followers. It's the leaders. It's the people who have used such faith to dominate and control others. I read an article last week that the Taliban in Afghanistan once again have commanded that women should cover themselves from head to toe. And I saw the article headline. It said that a woman was saying she feels no more than just second-rate, second-class. She has no rights of her own. And something says to me that that's not what Islam is surely is asking. This control over one gender by another. But let's not kid ourselves. It's not just Islam that we can pick that has control over its people. I quite often get into troubles for saying that any attack on the lives and the actions of Israel is being anti-Semitic. I do not equate one with the other. I totally accept the Jewish people have had such a difficult time, and I totally cannot understand what it's like to live in Israel surrounded by people who they would think hate them. But sometimes the actions of the Israeli state and those who serve them do not do Judaism any good at all. Last week we saw the horrible scenes of the soldiers with batons at a funeral, simply trying to remove flags from a coffin and from a hearse. We saw a coffin almost tipped onto the ground during the procession for the funeral, and my heart went out to all involved. This is not religious. This is political. This is power. This is the religion of fear, not the religion of faith. But Christians, we have had exactly the same down through the generations. The church has had so much influence and power over others that we're not exempt from all such criticism. And some might think the church still tries to have influence and power. And some branches of churches do still control and dominate their people. But that's not the faith we believe. Our faith is grounded in Jesus' example, in Jesus' words, in the teaching that he gives us. Whoever loves me, he said in that passage that we read, will obey my teaching. Just think about that. Whoever loves me will obey my teaching. What does that mean? Does that mean that as Christians we go out and condemn those who are not Christians? Does that mean that we build barriers to stop people coming to Christ? Does that mean that, well, you can find whole swathes of things happening today? I think of the Christian right, or at least some in the Christian right in the United States of America, who seem to me to be anything but loving Christians. Certainly those who would claim Christ as their saviour, but they certainly don't obey his teaching. His teaching to love their neighbour. His teaching to turn the other cheek, to walk the extra mile. Whoever loves me will obey my teaching. And my Father will love him. And my Father and I will come to him and live with him or her. It's such a special teaching, this teaching of Jesus in that upper room before he went out to the garden. A teaching of hope, a teaching of love. A teaching to prepare his followers to how they would live when he had gone. I've told you this while I'm still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. The Spirit guides us, not the leaders of denominations, not the powerful in the faith that we profess to announce. We are to be led by God's Holy Spirit. And we are, through the Spirit, to remember Jesus' teaching. A teaching of love over hatred. A teaching of unity over division. A teaching which says that you are a child of God rather than a slave of God. A teaching that allows us to cry, Abba, Father, not my master. A teaching that embraces and doesn't push away. I find that passage today so moving in these short few verses that I've looked at. And if we do take Christ as those who have professed publicly, like so many of you who are watching this, so many of you who are using this, if we profess Jesus as our Saviour and our Lord, and we love him, and we obey his teaching, this is what happens. For in verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not let your heart be upset, and do not be afraid." I think that the peace is what faith comes. The peace, the love, the hope, the joy. You know, these gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read in Galatians. These are the evidence of faith. Not to be downright controlled by others. Not to be thoughtless and mindless robots following a decree from on high. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you and me, always. And he will make you remember all that I have told you. On this special day in the life of my congregation, or one of them, and this special day for when all of us can gather wherever and whenever to worship God, we remember that teaching. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for he is greater than I. I have told you this now before it all happens, so when it does happen, you will believe. So let's not use our faith to be scoring points against others with no faith. Let us use our faith not to say we are the way, for only Christ is the way. And Christ tells us to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. Folks, this is such a little passage that we have looked at today. A mere 3 or 4 verses that I focused on. Whoever loves me will obey my teaching. The challenge is there. To show our love. In word, yes. Especially those who are making a public profession of faith. But more than that, in action. In how we live our lives. And in this time of Christian Aid, many have shown their love in action by the work that they've done, the support they've given, for the activities that they have participated in. And if you're not involved in Christian Aid, I'm sure there are lots of other ways you are involved, through prayer, through neighbourliness, and in your worship of Jesus Christ. "I have told you this while I am still with you," said Jesus. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you as the Father comes to me and lives in my heart through faith, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you." Folks, remember this. God loves you and is with you always. Amen.
Together, let us pray. Holy God, when we walk with you on this journey of faith, it is you who leads the way, not us. When we talk of you to those whom we meet along the way, it's your words that speak, not ours. When we minister to people in need, it's your hands that heal, not our hands. And when we worship you and offer you our lives, your name is glorified always. With some courage, we give thanks for wherever it is that you're leading us. Even if we can't always see the destination, we know that we never, ever walk alone. We give thanks for faith that's capable of leading us to new places, to new ways of thinking, and into a new future. We give thanks for the people we meet along the way, those who open our eyes and our senses to your love through word or action or deed. And of course, we give thanks for the moments when we are that gift of faith and light to other people, sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. Holy God, we seek to glorify your name in everything we do, in who we are, in our relationships and in our work, in our thinking and in our believing. We praise you and we give you thanks for every expression of love and care in our lives. We make our prayer too, though, for others, for this is a world that needs your love. So today, wherever people are hurting, or have lost all perspective, or sense of right or wrong, we make our prayer. Wherever extremism or polarization of views or fear and distrust dominate, we pray for a change in thinking and a change in worldview. Wherever power is abused, people are repressed, or wherever life is prevented from flourishing, we pray for signs of hope and transformation. Help us, O God, each in our own way, to be a participant in bringing change to your world. Help us to contribute to the solutions and not to remain indifferent or overwhelmed by the world's problems. God of every time and every people, in every way, may our lives be expressions of your grace, the embodiment of your will, and a reflection of your love for the whole of humanity. For this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May the light of God lead us, the power of God hold us, the joy of God bless us, the love of God enfold us. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love today and always. Amen.